We gather each and every week, not just on Sunday, but this church is a busy place to share life and community with one another, to help one another to grow more into the likeness of God's Son, Jesus. Well, we're spending these first few weeks of the new year talking about spirituality. That's a common word today, and we misunderstand it, but I guess it's basically just the idea of what does it mean to be spiritual? We talk about spiritual things. We talk about a Holy Spirit. But when it comes right down to it, I think some of us are a little foggy on what true spirituality is. And if you say, I want to be spiritual, what do you mean? That's what we're kind of tackling in these first 6 weeks of the new year. We're into it, of course, but that doesn't mean that if you are just now kind of getting plugged back in, or if you didn't understand what we were doing, or if you're visiting with us today, and you can pick right up and join along with us. We have some daily Bible readings that we put in a printed form that you can get at one of the info centers right out here in the main atrium as you leave the room. If you happen to be subscribed to our email list, it goes out every day, then you're getting these devotionals, these ideas, these scripture teachings throughout the week that talk about spirituality. And what we basically do in the life of our church is we take those daily Bible readings and we read up, and then on Sunday, today, we, in a sense, review what we've been reading during the week. Sometimes it may be that we look ahead, but most of the time we're trying to reinforce and remind ourselves of what we've been talking about in those daily Bible readings, Monday through Saturday, and even waking up this morning and picking up God's Word, bringing it with you to His house, to the church, as you study in Bible study groups together, and as we focus on worship, singing, praying, and opening God's Word here in this time. So it's spirituality. A couple of questions we visited about these last week, just want to remind you of them, that when you think of that term, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean to be spiritual? What is a spiritual person like? We talked about how sometimes spirituality to us can be kind of hypocritical or negative. We look at someone who is kind of outwardly showing their religion, if you will, that they make a big deal, a big production out of that. And we kind of stray away from that, that that's not what we have in mind. We don't think that's what the Bible's talking about when it talks about being spiritual. So what is it? What describes a spiritual person? Another question is, we have so many religions floating around today, and that's nothing new. There have been a multitude of faith groups, religious groups, all throughout history. But you have so many religions, then how do you know which ones are spiritual? And really, a lot of people would say all religions are headed to the same place. They're all talking about the same thing. And when we talk about religions, if we're basically saying the same thing in every religion, that is, you're seeking to reach some type of eternal life or eternal existence, or you're trying to reach God or that ultimate spiritual being, that life force, however you want to describe it, however you've heard it described, you sit here and you have to say, okay, if spirituality is this or that, and if all religions are heading to the same thing, then does it really matter? Well, I think it does. Matter of fact, I would say I know it does. If you're to take, and I know I had to be very selective about this, but I chose the five major religions of the world. I know there are many more than that. You count them up. Some people would say you left this one out, you left that one out. And I understand, I know that that's just the way it is when you're on limited time frame. But I think these five that I want to mention to you and what they're saying will help us to focus on what spirituality really is. So the first of those five is Christianity. I mean, that's where we claim to be as a church. We claim to be a church of Christian values, and we follow the Christian faith. And if you were to sum up what the message of Christianity is, I would call it the grace plan. It is that storyline, and we've talked about it before, that from one end of Scripture to the other, from Genesis to Revelation, and all points in between, that God is after us. He is pursuing us. We live in a broken world that's because of sin. And the main tenet of Christianity, if you're just trying to put it in a phrase or two, is that we get there, we get to God, we find eternal life by grace. Grace defined as unmerited favor. It's a gift. That the Christian life is all about receiving Jesus into your life. So, Christianity is the grace plan. But it's not the only religion in the world. Islam. Islam is a group, a term that is all over the internet today. It's all over the news. It has caused great strife among people, all parts of the world. Islam is a religion. It is a way of life. And I don't want to dive into the political aspect of countries like the Middle East and what those mean, or the word Muslim, Islamic faith. I told you that a group of us just came back from Jerusalem last week. We spent a week in the Holy Land after Christmas. And there's in Jerusalem this building that has a gold dome on top. If you look at any pictures of modern day Jerusalem, that's the focal point in most photographers, in the lens of most photographers. It is a sacred place to Christianity. It's a sacred place to Islamic people. But if you're talking about Islam, they have basically what I would call a five-pillar plan. I don't want to go into those. I don't know all the ins and outs of those five steps, but it involves praying to Allah, to God, several times a day, facing a certain direction. But there are basically five pillars to what? To help a person reach heaven, eternal life, to reach God. Then you've got Judaism. Judaism is the third major religion that takes Jerusalem and that gold dome, that spot on the face of the earth, to be very sacred and very holy. Judaism will say that on that spot where that gold dome is today is where Abraham offered up Isaac, his son, when God told him to stop. And this is Mount Moriah. This is a very sacred place for Jews. In the Islamic faith, that very spot is where they claim God revealed himself to the prophet Muhammad, and that's why that spot is so significant to that group today. And Christians, of course, we claim it to be important because it's where the temple was located, the Old Testament temple, and everything that it describes and signifies and everything that it means for us as Christians. So right there, you've got Christianity, you have Islam, you have Judaism that claim that same place on the face of the earth to be holy. And Judaism, as I see it, if Christianity is the grace plan to reach heaven and find peace with God, then Judaism is the law plan. It is the legalistic plan. And I just mean that simply for what it is. That you go back to the Old Testament that we hold to be God's word, and you take those laws, you take all of them and the ones that have been added over the centuries, and if a person is going to reach heaven, if they're going to be spiritual, if they're going to find God, it's going to be because they keep the law. So there's three: Christianity, Islam, Judaism. But there's a fourth one: Hinduism. Hinduism is unfamiliar to most of us, but it is a religion that touches millions of people. And its main plan is whatever works plan. Now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That if you could have a faith, if you could have a religion, if you could have a spiritual experience and be spiritual and embrace spirituality, and basically all it was whatever works for me, may be different from whatever works for you, but that's the basic tenet behind Hinduism. Now, once again, I'm no expert. You know that. And I don't know all the ins and outs, and there would be people who would take issue, but if you're really to give it just a heading, if you're wanting to crystallize and just summarize what this faith that reaches millions of people is really founded upon, in other words, how do you achieve spirituality in that way of life? It would be whatever works. And then the fifth one, Buddhism. Buddhism is... it's prevalent in our nation as well as other parts of the world. But once again, if you narrow down Buddhism as to what it takes to achieve spiritual nirvana or spiritual life, it's going to be four noble truths. Four noble truths. That's basically what I wanted to tell you. You can look these up on the internet yourself. Whatever you find on the internet, you know is going to be absolutely true. So that's just what I would tell you to do. But once again, are there other religions? Yes, most of them I would categorize not as major faith groups, but as philosophies or just ways of life, ways to interpret certain things. Zoroastrianism, other things. Unification Church, maybe you've heard of. I mean, you just drive down the street and you're going to find all kinds of temples or places of worship and meditation. But these five, basically, I think, cover most of the world. Christianity, the grace plan. Islam, the five pillar plan. Judaism, the law plan. Hinduism, whatever works plan. Buddhism, those four noble truths. Learn them, practice them, and you are spiritual. But is that really the answer? Is that really what it all boils down to? Is just certain things like this? And really, my question would be, do we lump Christianity in with all of the other major religions of the world? I'll speak more to that in just a moment. Let's go back to spirituality as we see it from the background of Christianity, because I'm not here today to give you a buffet of religions and ask you to pick one. I want to give you some perspective. But when people open up this topic of spirituality, many times it's just, oh, well, you're one of those, just like people over here on this side of the fence or following this plan of religion. And it all seems to mix up together. But when you isolate it and you come to Jesus, let's go back to what we said last week. Spirituality is defined in the Bible is best characterized in the life and the person of Jesus. And we used John 13 last week, where on the evening of Jesus' betrayal and his cross that would happen on the next day, he took what? You remember, a towel and girded himself. And it says he took a pan of water, a bowl of water, and he washed his disciples' feet. And we summed up spirituality from the viewpoint of Jesus as being a humble servant, filled with humility, giving up those godly powers and coming to this earth as one of us. So on the one hand, Jesus is pictured as that humble servant, and spirituality is certainly wrapped up in the way he lived. But on the other hand, Jesus claims some pretty amazing things. He claims to be equal with God. The very next chapter, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, a very familiar passage to some of us. It's one that I refer to time and time again when I'm trying to understand and convince people of who Jesus is and how important an understanding of who he is and what Christianity is, what it's all about. But after that upper room experience, after the washing of the feet, after the bread and the cup, after the Passover, the Bible says that they then left that upper room and they headed out in the streets of Jerusalem, heading east, and they came to an eastern gate that was one of many. He went through that eastern gate to a garden called Gethsemane, and there he began to pray. But on the way to that time of prayer, Jesus said some things. He gathered his disciples around him, and there in John chapter 14, 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Did you hear that? Jesus, on the one hand, who is the humble servant, on the other hand, drew a line in the sand and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Some people will look at that and say, that's arrogant. Some people will say, well, now wait a minute. He's narrowing down true spirituality. It's exactly what Jesus is doing. Not only that, in the ninth verse of that same 14th chapter of John's gospel, Jesus said this, and I just pick up the first portion of that verse because it's pretty lengthy, but he said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." There he goes again. On one hand, over here last week, spirituality is just someone who's humble, someone who serves. But on the other hand, in the same breath almost, Jesus says, "I am the only way. You want to find the Father? If you've been with me, you found him." So Jesus is claiming equality with God. You've got to understand that, because you have to make a decision about that. And for us, from the biblical point of view, spirituality is all wrapped up in both of those perspectives on Jesus. Is it true that true spirituality is to be a humble servant? Absolutely. Is it also true to understand that Jesus, the most humble of all humble servants, to the point of giving his life for the world, taking sin upon himself, is it equally okay for, on the other hand, for this man Jesus to claim that he is one with God, that he is the only way, the only path? No one comes to the Father but by him. It's a choice. Now, if you come back to all these other religions, I would say all of these religions have some grain of truth in them, okay? Now, you know, we can sit here and peck away and criticize and say, this is heresy, that's heresy. I understand all that. But if you really take a glance at all of these religions, these five that we've just mentioned, plus any other philosophy you want to call up or any other way of life, all of them are going to probably have some measure of truth. They're not created. They don't exist to just wreak havoc and destroy people. As misguided as they may seem, they do speak truth. So in the midst of all of those choices, in the midst of trying to define true spirituality, even though all religions contain some grain of truth, we have to realize that Jesus is not just a prophet representing a particular religion, in this case, Christianity, but that Jesus is God. Big difference. All these other streams of thought and others will have a major figure, a founder, an originator. The genesis of this movement or that movement will focus upon a personality. One of many, perhaps. But you see, Jesus claimed to be God, to have equality with God. He's not just a prophet. He already asked that question during his ministry. You remember halfway through, way up in the north end of Israel, Caesarea Philippi, he gathered his disciples and said, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" Son of Man is Jesus' term for himself. No one called Jesus Son of Man. Jesus called himself the Son of Man. Lots of theology to unpack there in that title. We don't have time for that now. But he said, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And then they started going through a roll call. And they said, well, some say that you're one of the prophets. Some say you're Elijah who's come back from the dead. Some say you're, but who do you say that I am? And it was Peter who said, you are the Christ, the Messiah. That's what that means. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You see, Peter's statement, a lot of people misconstrue it. That's why a lot of people think that the church was built upon Peter. That's why he's considered to be the first pope of the church. And every pope that succeeds him, that comes after him, is going to be related to him in some way. But we would hold that it wasn't going to be built upon the person of Peter, but it was built upon what he said, what he confessed. The church, the bedrock of the church, is what? Jesus Christ is Lord. And all God's people said? You see, folks, it all boils down Christianity to this. Christianity is not a religion. I remove it from this listing. I understand why it needs to be included in some people's minds. I understand why if you go to Wikipedia or any other reference work, you're going to find religion, you're going to find these five and others. But I would submit to you that Christianity needs to be pulled out of this because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, the most spiritual person who ever walked the face of the earth. Humble servant, but equal with God. If you were to do a survey, ask people, tell me about what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be spiritual? You're going to get all kinds of answers. Some people are going to say, well, I know Christianity is love. Christian life is all about love. Just go to the Bible. Go to 1 John. God is love. But is that what Christianity is at its heart? Is it just love? If it is, it's misguided because you've got several words to pick from that are translated love. Now, don't get me wrong. Christianity is all about love. But Christianity is not just love at its heart. It's a relationship. Some people are going to say, I know what Christianity is. It's this book. It's learning everything in this book. It is the Word of God from one end of it to the other. You know this book, you're a Christian. Okay, now wait a minute. If I've got to know everything in this book, I'm already behind the eight ball because I'm not smart enough to understand everything in this book. And there's some of you out there that are smarter than me. Does that mean you're more of a Christian than me because you understand more of this book than me? But some people, when they think of what it means to be a Christian, it all boils down to these verses. But you see, Christianity is more than God's Word. It has a whole lot to do with it. But Christianity begins with that relationship. Some people are going to say, well, I know what being a Christian is. It's being good. See, then they're mixing up this idea of law, of being legal. You're going back to that way of Judaism. Is if I'm going to be good, that's what makes me a follower of God. The gooder I am, the better I am at being good, the more I'm going to please God. But you see, I got a problem there too, because I'm not good all the time, nor are you. So what's the scale there? See, we make it something that it isn't when at its basic. Now, once again, is Christianity about being good to people? Absolutely. I want to be a person of grace. I want to show good manners. I want to help those who are in need. But at its heart, spirituality is not just being good. Being spiritual is not just memorizing the verses. Being spiritual is not just all you need is love. It's a relationship. Over the past week, we've had 40 of our folks, 40 of you, have gone out in our community. and knocked on doors. Are you kidding me? We're knocking on doors? We're like the Fuller Brush guy? Well, we're knocking on doors, and we're simply telling people that we're caring for our community, and we're doing that by prayer. And we ask people right then and there on the spot, how can we pray for you? Most of the people that open the doors that I've been involved with, and there have been many others, just look at you like, are you kidding? You're going to pray for me? Some people stiff arm. Some people say, I'm not interested. Well, we've had 40 folks go out since this past Monday. 40 folks have gone out in our community. And a community for us right now is a mile radius around the church. And there's some apartments over here that we call Cambridge. There's umpteen buildings. Each building has 8 units. And out of the 40 people who've gone into the community, we've been able to share the story of Jesus, the gospel, 41 times. Knocking on those doors. We prayed with 52 families, allowed us to pray for them on the spot. And we connected with 25 other believers. People go, yeah, I'm a Christian and I go to such and such a church. And we just joined in and said, that's great. That's great. Keep it up. But one person in particular made this comment. Because you see, they ask. We don't go and say, we don't knock on the door and say, hello, we're from First Baptist Church in Louisville, and we're here to pray for you. We just say we're out in the community praying. But they want to know what church are you from? And we tell them. Now, if we're going to get a bad review, maybe we ought to tell them we're somebody else. But we tell them. And one guy said this, oh, you're that church that actually works. I love that. Whether he cares about us or whether he will ever darken the door of this church, what does his opinion of our church is, you're the church that's actually doing something. You're making an effort. And folks, that's what it's going to take. Two people over the past few days as part of that, we've gone back and they have asked Jesus to come into their life. They become followers of Christ. If we had not gone, we'd never had that opportunity. Folks, you see, Christianity is not a religion. We're not just one of several that are out here trying to beat the bushes and convert people. We're out here to do what? To show people what true spirituality is. It's a relationship with the living Son of God, Jesus the Christ. So God pursues us, and we pursue people. I close with a quote from C.S. Lewis, a book called Mere Christianity. He says, a man who was merely a man who said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. God is pursuing people like you and me. And because he has reached us, we pursue people all around us. That is the essence of true spirituality, knowing Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here, to call upon your name, to ask you to bless us and to ask you to help us. So help us make choices today that honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We offer a final closing song of invitation, of commitment. As we sing this song in just a moment, we're going to have deacons and ministers standing here, because some choices that we make need to be made publicly, need to be made to the world. If you're here today and you have never acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you've never asked Him to come into your life to forgive your sin, if you've never initiated that relationship that He offers, I'm not talking about a religion, I'm not talking about being good, I'm talking about knowing Christ. If that's the decision you want to make, I want to ask you to come forward today. Let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. If you're here today and you know the Lord, just never told anyone, tell us. If it's a church you're looking for, if it's a place to belong, a place where you can serve, well, here we are. Not perfect, but at least from the perspective of one guy in the neighborhood, we're at least doing something. We're working. We're reaching. And that's why we're here. So if you feel compelled to be a part of a movement like this, then we invite you to come and join with us. How do you do that? You just come forward. That's the beginning. A lot more to it. You plug in, you serve. So we ask you to make that choice today. And that's how you would join our congregation. But then for most of us, Christians, yes, members of this church, probably, or some church. But what do you really know about what God expects? What does it really mean to you to be spiritual? Don't hide from that term, that description. Just understand it for what it is and live it. So whatever that means, whatever life change that we're talking about there, just step out confidently knowing that God's going to lead you. That's our invitation. Stand with me, sing with me, respond as God leads.